These are your prayers. Well, the prayer was that the Lord would not leave any stones unturned. So I feel like there's one more to turn. Pray the Lord would help us. I'd like to look at a scripture in the 6th chapter of Ecclesiastes. In the 6th verse. I feel like sometimes that I have a real kinship with some of these writers in the Bible. I can really feel what they must have felt when they was writing some of this stuff. 6:6 says, "Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place." I want to read a few verses of this, but this is all put in questions, asking questions. "Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told." I've had those kind of thoughts before. 1,000 years, twice told. 2,000 years. Can you imagine living 2,000 years? Well, I can. 2,000 years. You ever really think about it? I have, because I'm getting older and there are some things that I've wanted to do and I've been calculating, and it ain't gonna work real well. If I plant the orchard that I'd like to plant, I sure ain't gonna get to eat a whole lot of it. But if I could live for 2,000 years, I could plant oak trees and see them. I could probably see them die. I mean, they can live that long, but they're old by the time they get. They won't live. I don't know of any. The 200 years is about it. I could see several of those come and go in 2,000 years. They say that some of the redwoods is pushing that. I could plant one of those, and before I die, I could see it. Imagine. Writer was meaning something. 2,000 years. If I could live 1,000 years twice over. You ever? I know the older ones probably feel this, or somebody in here does. I'm a little better off right now financially than I was when I first started out, when I was 18. And when I was 18, I mean, when I started trying to look for a job, I didn't have two quarters to rub together. Most of the time, I didn't have money for nothing. I'm better off than that now. If I could live for 2,000 years at this rate of increase, I'd be worth something. 2,000 years is a lot of time to invest, and you think even at the current rates is kind of low, but if you could invest a little bit of money at 3% over the next 2,000 years, it'd add up to something. 2,000 years, if I could live 1,000 years twice over. The writer was capturing something when he said this. I've thought of these kind of things too. But the expression that he has at the end of it is, what's the use? We'll all end up at the same place. What if I could do that? What if the writer of this, which it's totally out there, some say it may even mean if he means if I could double my life. Well, however the wording is, don't make any difference. Do you realize that the writer of this would be the same place he'd be? If he lived 2,000 years, he'd still be there. Folks, this means something. The last stone to unturn today is this. There's nothing so important as your soul. I believe the Lord sent the revival. I felt the Lord did. And I think the Lord spoke to our hearts. But there is one thing left. The Lord spread it out. The Lord gave it. That's as far as the Lord goes. He works. He deals. He lays. He tries to convince. He makes convincing arguments. He deals with the soul. But the ultimate end of it, the Lord gives to you. The last stone to unturn is your decision. Do you want it or not? The argument here is that if you could live 2,000 years, you could avoid it for a while. But all the ancients are gone. And they will end up in the same place eventually, no matter what. We have the debates. Is it safe to trust God? If I die at 50 or 100, what makes a difference 100 years from now? This is the questioning that the preacher is talking about. If I could live 1,000 years twice over, what difference does it really make? If I could plant 100 or see 10 times, plant my groves and see them live and die 10 times, at the end of it, what difference does it make? I've lived and I've died and I've went on to something. The fact of it is we will never have 1,000 years twice over. We've got our lives. And we've got the decisions to make in our lives. Yea, though I live 1,000 years twice told, yet ye see no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. You know what he's talking about? Well, I'll be. I've worked and I've labored. And I get hungry and I eat. Get up tomorrow morning, I'm hungry just like I started off the day before with. Here we go again. Here we go again. And I try and I labor to satisfy the needs of my life. And I get it done for one day. And I feel pretty good about it when I lay down. And lo, I get up the next day and I'm hungry again. Here we go again. Over and over the same story told. Over and over life goes. And he's asking questions here and wondering about life. And that's the way it goes. A man works and labors for that. And when he gets through with it, he turns around and here he goes over again, the same old cycle of life. And here it goes again. And surely life speaks more than that, doesn't it? Is that all life can hold? Surely it's more than that. He's wondering and all this, and I work and I labor, and when I get through, I'm never satisfied with it at the end of it. Folks, there's something that satisfies. There is something that satisfies. There's something that satisfies the soul. It's rich. It's real. We live, we labor, we toil here in this life, but all at the same time, there's something that satisfies our existence, our life. It isn't just that I wake up tomorrow and I'm hungry again. Brother Samuels used to tell us a lot. He said, I am satisfied. I am content, but I'm not content with how much, just with what. I'm content with God, but I want more of Him, is what he would say. That's the way I feel too. Sure, I want more of the Lord, but I found something that satisfies. It ain't this endless cycle, this endless circle that the preacher's talking about, that life holds itself, but it's our decision. It's your decision do you make. If that's what you want, where you want life to be, an unsatisfied and a continual work and labor to try to satisfy the needs of your life, and then get up and see that they're not met, and see that what I thought brought me happiness today don't bring me happiness tomorrow, and what I thought I could put trust in has let me down, and all those things in an endless cycle of trying to find happiness. What do you think the present world is all about with all of its entertainments? Because there has to be another step. There has to be one. Sin can never find the end of its place. It's got to go one step farther and one step farther. And people go one step farther and one step farther, trying to find something to satisfy. It's in a relationship. People are jumping from one to the other. Why? Because it's not fulfilling. It's not fulfilling something in there that they need fulfilled. And all he was wondering about just life. The preacher was. For what have the wise more than the fool? What an expression. What hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? It's an amazing thing that he looked and saw. This is the way I look at it too. The feller works and labors and is wise with these things. And he does all these things, and another fellow is frivolous and foolish. And when they sat down to eat, that wise man can't eat a bite more than the fool can. You ever know a fool that is hungry? They eat the same as everybody else does. You know, a rich man only puts on one set of clothes at a time. just like a fool does. When it's all said and done and he looks at all of it and he says, been wise. This is what he was looking at and dealing with. He looked at it and said, it wasn't a total conclusion to the thing. He was just saying and wondering about life in a way it was. I've seen this thing myself work and think I've been wise and I've done prudently. And I turned around and looked at somebody who was so foolish and it seemed like that it just everything was just fine for him. And I'm scratching my head and said, surely it'll catch up with them. Sometime, I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to work, and it just keeps working, and it keeps doing it, and the fool seems like he comes out, and he was wondering too, how much better off is a wise than a fool? They're in the same place, it looks like, it appears like, but it's not. But it's not. This earth has its twists and its turns, but when you begin to look beyond this world, you'll start seeing the difference. I think it was the psalmist that was confused one time, and he said, I'm confused. The wicked's prospering. The wicked's prospering. How can the wicked prosper? But they do. You look and the wicked prosper, and you say, how's this? You're trying to live godly, and you're right on the bare means, and here's these guys wicked, and they're prospering. And he said, it wasn't till I went to the house of the Lord. And then I could understand the end thereof. I was able to see beyond that. We have spread out before us the decisions of our life. God makes the difference. Choose the right things of the Lord. Choose God. For a fool may prosper here, and it is true. Wise man can't eat a bite more than a fool. Wear one set of clothes at a time. You may labor and work and with your wisdom be able to build a financial empire. But you leave it in a few days. You only eat what you can eat. You only wear what you can wear. I've known people that have loved cars. Rich people that have loved cars. And they have Mercedes. And they have Jaguars. And I've never seen them drive two at once. I've never seen them. They drive one at a time. And here goes a rich man in his car, and here goes a fool in his. The rich man paid for his, and the fool's about to lose his, but here they go down the highway together. A wise man and a fool. And the idea is here on this earth. Don't try to outdo it. It's not about that. But it is about our decisions. And the writer here wasn't saying that decisions was wrong. He was just looking at what happens in this earth. But decisions are very important. And that's why I wanted the last stone to turn for this meeting. And I won't be up here long, but I feel like the Lord has this burden for us. I think the Lord made an expression during the revival here. In what it is to be true to God. But that's as far as he's going to go. He don't make people serve him. He is what he is. And he presents that to us. I am God. I change not. He presents us his love, his concern, his care, his person, his holiness. He presents himself. Then he leaves that to us to embrace. And we make decisions every day of our life. And every decision impacts us. I want to tell you about decisions. Before we came out here, I had a situation to where I had taken the van to a Walmart service place and had them change my oil. And they have this little deal where they inspect things and they give you an inspection list when they get through. Well, one of the inspection on the inspection list, there was that my front passenger tire, was the belt was broke in it. Well, I didn't believe them. I told my wife, I said, there's no way that belt's broke in that tire. This thing's smooth as silk. I was driving. Why does that thing be thumping, beating? There's nothing wrong with this tire. Well, why they put that on there? I thought they must have made a mistake. Somebody else's. Mine ain't bad. Well, anyway, we got home and I drove around. We hadn't went anywhere a long distance for a while, and we drove around it. And one of my tires started thumping. Well, I'd had them rotated, and one of my tires was thumping on the front. Well, the tire, they said the belt was broke in. It started thumping, and I knew it was going to come on this trip we was coming on. So I said, well, I can't go with a thumping tire. And I looked my tires over, and I thought, you know, I need tires, but I'm not going to get tires. Because I thought, I'm going out west, and when I get out there, I'll just get some tires out there, and I won't have to make a special trip here. And so I took my spare and put it on where this thumping tire was, and put my thumping tire in the spare rack. Thinking I got four good tires going out there, I get out there and make some. It was just a decision. It was a decision. Do it any way you want to, but it was my decision. So we went to, and we had a little meeting in Alabama, and we decided up late at night, about 11:30, that we was going to head on out to Missouri. 11:30, Sunday night. We take off, and about 45 minutes later, thump, 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 thump. The car starts, the van starts to thumping real bad, and thumping, the tire's going bad. And I said, oh no, well, it went just for a few minutes, and it blew the tire out. And I'm thinking all at the same time, oh, no. I know what that spare is. See, the tire that the Walmart had marked as a bad tire is the one that blew. And the other tire that was thumping, I put it in my spare rack. So I got a spare there. So anyway, there was a little lighted area there. And my wife was saying, honey, pull off there at that lighted area. And I drove and pulled off there. And no, I'm going to have to put that spare on there. And that's why I put it in there. And I thought, all at the same time, I'm thinking, boy, that spare is not going anywhere. I mean, just enough to go a little ways, but it's not going anywhere. So anyway, I get out there, and it's, you know, 12 o'clock or after 12 or whatever it is. And we're there. And I got out and was changing this. And the police pulls in. And everything all right? And I said, yeah, everything's fine. And you got a flat, we're changing it. And she talking. I said, anywhere around here that you can get a tire? No, at this area, I don't know. And so anyway, I'm in under the van getting it out. And Seth, he's with me. And he ended up saying it was a woman officer and said, she wants to talk to you. So I went back over to the window and she gave me a piece of paper, had some phone numbers, said this is some trucking places. Said you might be able to get a tire. If you get a tire, they can probably mount it for you, whatever. And she said, yeah, I wanted to tell you, the bottom number down there, that's our dispatch number. Said, the reason I'm out here, and I'm not going to say exactly what she said, but there's a guy out here that don't have his clothes on. He's running around out here. And if you see him, you get in your van and call this number. And I looked at Seth, and Seth kind of looked back at me. We kind of looked in one other's eyes, and okay. It was all just a decision I'd made. And there I am beside the road. And so anyway, I know what I was thinking. I was thinking the best thing to do, because see, I'd unloaded the back of the van. I think the best thing to do is get that tire on the van and get out of here. That's what I was thinking. It's the best thing to do without telling my wife. That's what I was thinking. I was without telling Linda, I got to get out of here. I don't know what Seth was thinking, but that's what I thought. But a little bit I thought, I better tell her. So I said, Seth, tell Linda what. Give her the paper. Tell her what I said. Well, I'm under the van and are getting ready with the tire. And I look, and here comes Linda. And she's putting stuff back in the van. Says she wanted to know what's the quickest way we can get out of here. And I said, well, I got to put the tire on here. So I put the tire on, we got out of there, and we're driving, we're going to go, and boy, this thing, it was nothing. I mean, it was really thumping and pounding, and I said, well, you know, we got up to the Walmart, and up in the night like that, there in the Walmart parking lot, I went in and tried to convince them that maybe somebody would make a commercial out of it or something if they could get me a tire. If some way they could do something, it would really be the Walmart way. And they kept saying 7 o'clock in the morning is the best we can do. Now, anyway, I was out in the parking lot, 3:30, spitting sunflower seeds, thinking, you know, there's no reason in this. There's no sense for a person to do this. That was a bad decision. I had bad tires, and I'm out there, and I should have took care of it. And I'm sitting out there, and you know the Lord's so good. The Lord starts dealing with me. There in the middle of the night in the parking lot, the Lord starts dealing with me. The family's in the van, kind of, I couldn't sleep in there. I'm out walking around in the parking lot, and the Lord starts dealing with me. That this ain't a big deal. But what is a big deal is when people shipwreck from the bad decisions that they make in life. When they choose things that's bad for them, they choose things that's going to leave them abandoned beside the road, not able to go on, not able to fulfill. That's bad. And the Lord started dealing with me about that. Well, 7 o'clock did come, and they did come in, and they was very nice, and they finished. I got the tires, and I had a good price on it. Everything worked out real good, except for we should have been pulling into Neosho about the time that we had the tires on down there and still had 10 hours to go. Other than that, I've been up all night. Other than that, I feel fine now. I made it through all that. I feel blessed, all that. But the Lord showed me something different than that about decisions. You put your family in a situation because of the decision you made. Do you know that the decisions that you'll make concerning this revival meeting and what the Lord speaks to you, not only in this, but as the Lord speaks to you, do you know those decisions will affect your family?
Yes, sir.
They will affect your loved ones. They'll affect your neighbors. It'll affect your community. It'll affect you directly. It'll not, the decisions to do things wrong will not only shipwreck you, it'll shipwreck others around you. It'll give them less opportunities to find the grace of God in their lives. Making the right decision enhances those that are around you. It supports those that are around you. It builds up those that are around you to better things, more wholesome things. Everything decision we make for the devil empowers the devil in your life around you. Every decision we make to give God room in our life, give God the place in our life. Every decision that we make in those kind of places keeps us going on the highway of life. It keeps our families on the right trails and on the right way. It is the best way to go. I don't know altogether about what the writer here was talking about altogether, but it brings ideas to me, the questioning that he had and the looking at life in general around him and the disturbances that we can have. But this is what I have learned from it all. When I start looking at that and making those questions around me, I'll get discouraged. When I lift up my eyes to the Lord, I've never been disappointed. The Lord has fulfilled my life in every place I've given it to Him. He has made it better and more wholesome. He has lifted me up time and time again. And I am so thankful for that. That the last stone I want to mention of today is your decisions of how you're going to deal with God. We were, me and Brother Sammons, I appreciate the opportunity that the Lord gave me in His life. See, I started preaching when Brother Sammons was still traveling around. I actually started traveling around, and we never did say, let's go somewhere together. He just went, and I went too. I was in a lot of meetings with Brother Sammons there. And I appreciated the place that I had to be able to go with Brother Sammons around and be in different meetings and stuff. But he said something one time that just left me speechless. We was together, and it was just a while before he got sick and when he died. And I can still remember the far off, distant look in his eye as he said it. He said, Brother Marty, he said, it sure would be a shame if I'd lose my soul after all this. And it shocked me. It shocked me. And Brother Sammons, to say something like that. But I know what he meant now. I know what he meant. I've been in it long enough to know now. He was concerned about his soul. He knew he was coming down to the end of it, and he was getting desperate. And he realized that none of it had merit. It didn't give him no merit. And he realized that he needed the Lord real bad. And what a shame it would have been. He drove over 1,000,000 miles He claimed it himself in the work of the gospel. And to think, he said, so it would be a shame if I'd be lost after all this. You know, the decisions that we make in life have a lot to do with where we go and what we do in life. And the scripture writers did those things too. Now, I'll give you an example. It's recoverable sometimes, sure it is. There was a young man in the scriptures. It's called the prodigal. He had everything. He was blessed. He had the riches. All that it told. But he also had a wandering eye. He longed for something, not only in my imagination, of course, but I think maybe he looked over to the far distant caravans that passed by. And he maybe in the nights he listened to the far off sounds of music and of merriment. I don't know. But something drew him. And he wondered. I wonder if it was ever you could be said in these kind of scenes, a young man said, Dad, what is that out there? Son, I want to tell you, stay away from that. It's no good for you. Oh, but I got to know. I got to experience. I got to know. He made a decision. There come a time that he said, give me that which belonged to me. It's a decision. It's laid out. But he needed it. He wanted to make a decision, so he made it. And he took his portion. Oh, I know how youth is. He never thought it'd end up like it did. He had in his mind of love, of making better, being something important. He had all that in his heart. But when he got out there, he found out that it wasn't like that. It's hard and cold and cruel out there. And he fell into things, and before long he had spent all that he had on a riotous living, and he ended up, and some people say he eat with the hogs, but the scripture never did say he got that he made it that important. He said he would have. If there was anybody who would give him any. They didn't. He would have eat with them, but he didn't have the opportunity. But there was a time he made another decision. I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back. I want to tell you today that the story ends in a beautiful story of God's love for man and his ability and his desire to have them back. He said that the father saw him a long ways away. That's because the father was looking and wanting his son back and received him as a son. It's a beautiful story. But I want to say it ends the way not many does. Many, many that go never come back. They never come to themselves and they never make the decision to come back. But the decision's still there to be made. It's still up to us. You can hear all your lives of the beauty of the things of God and how to cherish them and how valuable they are. But the ultimate thing is do you want it or don't you want it? It's laid there to make a choice with. The woman at the well said, give me this water. That's a decision. I heard of it, and I want it. Give me the water. There was another man in the Bible. His name was David. King David was the mark that God set. Because the scripture refers, if he was a good king, they say he was like his father David. David set the standard. And you can see why. He loved God. He had faith in God to deliver, to help. He sang about him. He longed for him. He desired him. But he also made a decision one time. He made a decision. He made a decision, folks. The decision he made was is that when the time came for kings to war, David didn't. I don't know what all that means. Although it sounds like he should have been out with the men, he was at the house. And it also says that he got up and it was late in the day. I don't know what a feller with any ambitions doing laying around, but it was late in the day. He should have been up there. Something was going on with David and the decisions that he was making. And he ended up on the rooftop. He ended up in a place because of his decisions that led to temptations, to a place that he was weak in. And we know the story of David. David's life impacted many, many people. David's decision called the man to die of the name of Uriah, who had more integrity than David did. A good man. And he died. The decision that he made was there to be made. God, he was a man after God's own heart. And there he was, and he made a decision laid out before him. Which will you do? David surely had the knowledge and the understanding of what God required, but yet he put himself in a place and he made a decision. And little did he know of the consequences that was going to befall him. Not long down the road, there was a prophet came by and told a simple little story of a man and a lamb. And how another man took, one man had all these flocks, all these lambs, and one had one little ewe lamb. And he loved it like it was a daughter. He loved that little lamb. And the man with all those lambs came and took that lamb and slayed it for his visitors. And David's wrath was kindled. Oh, David was angry and said, "What do you do? What do you do to a man like that?" And David pronounced judgment on him. Pronounced judgment on him. He understood it clearly when he was outside the box. And then Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Oh, Lord, my decisions come back at me. And I'm going to have to live with the decisions. Folks, if there's anything we don't want to do is live with the regrets of our lives. I know of people today that will testify, "I feel like I found God in His grace. I feel like if I die, I'm safe to go to heaven. But I have a regret in my life. I spent so many years, I raised a family in sin. And I love those children. And they don't think of God at all. And it's my fault. I lived selfishly and sinfully all through their life and taught them the bad and filthy habits of the world. And now I've returned back to a teaching I had when I was young. And I found God. And I've left them out there." The regrets and the sorrows of decisions that's made. And God wants us to avoid that kind of a place. God wants us to make the right decision now. This is the day of salvation today. This is the time, as God deals with our heart, to make the decision to say, "I'm going all the way with God. I'm deciding here and now that I'm going all the way with God." Lord, help us today that we would be able to make the decisions we need to. If the Lord has dealt with our hearts on any matter, it is so common to say, "I'm going to do it tomorrow." I believe hell will truly be through full of a lot of people that said, "I will take care of it later." If you remember the man, wasn't it Felix that said, "When a convenient time, I'll call for you." Oh, how dangerous is that convenient time. I know my own, I've been this way, folks. I'm not talking spiritually. I'm talking just about the things around me. I can be so bad at that. Put something off and put something off. There'll be little latches and stuff at the house that won't work right. And you'll have to take this extra time to open the door or open something. And I'll think, "I need to fix that." And when I get time, I'm going to. I'm going to try to fix that. And days goes on. And if I'd count up all the time that I'd put in jiggling that thing, then when I go to fix it, it's a 2-minute job. Fix the thing in 2 minutes, something you fooled with all that time, and just put off to some other time. Put it off for some other time. There's actually been things that I've stepped over and think I'm going to pick that up. And step over and think I'm going to pick that thing up. And just leave it there. Well, that's one thing in the natural sense. But take care of the needs of your soul, folks. Take care of what God has dealt with you about. Take care of that thing. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's not like a tool laying around. The things in your life that it'll be easier to take care of when God deals with them. It'll be easier to take care of them because if you don't, they worsen and worsen and worsen, and they become habits in your life. They become a part of your life. And it gets harder and harder and harder to deal with the issues. It becomes something that is so ingrained sometimes that you can't hardly deal with that thing, even though you know you ought to. You can't hardly get to the place to deal with that thing. Lord, help us today. There is many other scriptures in the Bible that deals with people that was in these kind of places that had something right there that made a decision, that simply made a decision. And it's amazing to me that it could be this way. But it speaks something of the heart of man. How, you answer this to me, how could it be possible that a group of people, a million and a half strong, cross the Red Sea, folks? Imagine it. They come up there and the waters, they split open. These people were there. This is not a fairy tale. The children of Israel, a million and a half strong or whatever it was, walked across the Red Sea on dry land. I don't know. Did any of them dare to maybe stick their hand in? I don't know. If I'd have been there, I think I would have maybe kind of got over there if I could have and see. Boy, wow. Wow, this is, the Bible says it happened. I believe it happened. They were there. They went to the other side and, folks, their hearts was full. The song of deliverance, the song of Moses and praise the Lord, they sung all glorious deliverance. God got us out of the hands of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians are saying to come across was drowned in the sea. Praise the Lord. Deliverance. How soon we forget. It wasn't a short time until these people acted like that never happened at all. I wonder if in their minds, what did they do? How did that go away so easily? But it did. God had intended for these people to go a short distance, and He was taking them to the promised land. So He took them there. God had proven to them, or should have, I would think, God done everything He could to prove to them that He was God. If you look into the idea of what the Lord did, before He did this, this was the hand of God. He kept hardening the Pharaoh's heart to leave the children of Israel there until the time appointed. That wasn't by chance. God wanted to prove to Israel when He took them out there that they had had no heart towards any of those gods that was left back in Egypt. He was going to confound every one of them before He left. And He did. The God of the Nile, it turned red with blood. The God of the fields was destroyed. God destroyed all the images and all the powers that they were supposed to have. He confounded them all before He got them out of there and proved it. He proved He was God. And He took the children of Israel and by a mighty hand delivered them and took them to the banks of the Jordan. And the only thing that they needed, folks, was the decision to believe. It was the last thing left. God had spread the table. He'd done everything that was meant to be done. He confounded the old gods. He'd done everything. He destroyed the greatest army on the earth, with all their horses and chariots, and brought Israel right to the banks of the Jordan and said, all you got to do is believe. What did God tell them that He was going to do? He was going to give them the land of Canaan, the land that Abraham had trod. He was going to give them a land that had vineyards that they didn't plant and houses that they didn't build. He was going to give it to them by faith. And when they went and espied the land, they looked at it and said, we can't take it. We can't do it. Two men went over there and had faith to believe. It took faith in God. I believe if Israel would have stiffened their backs up and said, it's God we believe in. That don't matter how big they are. He confounded them. He got it, delivered us. And He's our God. And we will die to get the promise. It's our inheritance from the Lord. It's ours by right. And I believe in God. I believe they'd have walked through there. But you know what happened? They had an evil heart of unbelief. I believe faith is a choice, folks. It's been so in my life. I love the Lord enough to believe in Him. I choose to believe. I want to believe. Sometimes I struggle to believe. But it's my choice to believe. And they didn't choose to believe. They choose rather to complain and cry. So the story went on. The account went on. The spies come back and they give their account. 10 of them say, the city walls are thick. And we're like grasshoppers in the sight of these guys. And the other two said, true. They're giants over there. And we're like grasshoppers. But we're well able. We're well able to take that land that's there. And it said that the hearts of the people melted and they wept all night. They wept all night. They got to the place after a while that they said, after God had pronounced the judgment, they said, we'll go. And the Lord said, well, I think actually wasn't Moses said you can go. Well, the Lord ain't going with you. You go over there now, you're going by yourself. You go over there now and you're going to be trounced by those guys that are giants to you. But you had an opportunity. God had spread it out. He had made a promise to these people. And all they had to do was accept the promise that was spread out. I believe that the Lord wants to do wonderful things with us. I think God is spreading, has spread it out before us. If you want more of God, there's a whole lot more to have, be had. And He's opening it up. Come. Come and partake of my spirit. Come and partake of my life. Get all that you can get. He opens it up to us. And all that it takes for that land of Canaan, that experience, is faith to believe it. He's already promised it. A life above sin? A life with victory in your life? Oh, is there trouble? Sure there is. Is there power over it? Yes, you better believe it. There is. There's a life there in God where we see the glories of His victories right there in our lives. And we can have it by faith. And the Lord pronounced judgment on them. You know, they went back into the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine? 140 years eating manna. The Lord blessed them. He fed them manna and their shoes didn't wear out. I think it was that everyone over the age of 20 would die in the wilderness. And then there came a new time. And you know who was still there? Joshua and Caleb. Old Joshua and Caleb. Old Caleb made the comment. 45 years. I think that's how old he was, started something like that. 85 years old, I believe the account was. And he come back and he said, as I was in that day, so is my strength today. I'm still able. Give me this mountain that was promised to me. That's my mountain. That's my mountain. I'm going in to take it. I could have took it 40 years ago. And I'm still able to take the mountain. God gave it to me. I think the Lord promised that to him. Said, whatever your foot is trod, that's yours. And he said, that's mine. Do you know how valuable that is to us, folks? The heritage. The heritage. This is the last stone to decide to get what's mine. To have what's mine. God put such value on it. He wants us to value it. He wanted the children of Israel. There were some statements in that. If you want to look at it, look it up. And there's some particular words there that is so meaningful. It says that they despised the land. That doesn't mean that they sat in hatred. It's not the way we think the English. It simply means they devalued it. The children of Israel devalued the land of Canaan by not going and getting it. If they had said, no, I've lived in Egypt in bondage. I've been in that place and the Lord has brought me out and He's promised me better and He promised me that land and I'll die getting it. It's mine. It's mine. It's my heritage. But they despised it and it displeased God. Esau done it with his birthright. By birthright. This was meaningful to these people. Esau was born first. And he had the right of the firstborn. And God instituted it. And he had the right. It should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. And Esau, the term was the same. He despised his birthright. It don't mean he sat around and thought about it in a hateful way. It meant that he put no value to it. And he gave it up for a bowl of soup. That's what it meant. That's all that it's worth. All it's worth is something for a little bit of food for me. That's all that it's worth. And God hated it. Because God had instilled who He was and made Him to be that. And He despised it. He should have said, Jacob, my brother. A lot of things are going to happen. But you getting my birthright ain't one of them. It ain't even close. You remember when Ahab had a vineyard. Or he wanted a vineyard. Ahab wanted a vineyard that laid beside his property. And he went to buy it. So I'll give you more than it's worth. And Naboth said, far be it from me. This is my heritage. That has such meaning to it, folks. He meant that, what does the psalm say? Let my lines fall in goodly places. Talking about where my inheritance lines falls, my land. God has a place for you. That's tailor-made for you. That you'll be happiest in. God made it to be that way. And when Naboth's vineyard, well, I can't sell this. God set the lines of it. It wasn't man that sent me to be here. God gave me this. How can I possibly sell to you? My land that God gave to me. This is where I'm supposed to be. He didn't despise it. Ahab had him killed, but he that was his land. He couldn't give it up, and God approved of it. God had set that boundary in that place. We have a decision to make. Do I want what God made me to be in this life? Do I want the things that God wants me to be, my land, my places, my heritage? I want to look at one scripture in closing. It's the way the preacher ended up Ecclesiastes. In the 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Boy, that's concluded all. Roll it all up. The last matter to be dealt with. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is what we was made for. This is what we were supposed to do. It's where God brought us to be. But He made us all with a will. It's your will. It's my will. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And now it's our decision time. This is of this revival, this spring revival in Yosho, 2011. It's the last meeting. A few minutes left possibly, but it comes down to this. Of whatever is preached or whatever is done, whatever stirred or whatever touched, it's left to your decision. It's left to your will. To be able to say, I want that with all my heart. Brother Ed's daddy, Brother Clifford, he used to tell us quite often, you can go to heaven if you want to. If you want to with all your heart. It's all it takes. If you want to go with all your heart, you can go. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is why man was made. This is what his purpose is. Fear God and keep His commandment. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The end of it all is that it's really God that matters. Folks, if we lived 1,000 years twice over, what would it do us any good if we lost our souls? We'd only look back on many years of sorrow, many years of maybe planting and sowing and reaping. But we look back on it the same. You'd say, I lived a long life on the earth, and now I live forever in an eternity. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.